As Pastor Zeddy said, my name is Wes Denham. I'm the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Troy, Missouri. Senior pastor, all that means is I'm the oldest guy on staff. So let's get into God's Word. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. You all are familiar with this story because Peter comes to Jesus and he asks him a question. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his servant was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. We finally read in verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to guide us into all truth. Father, you know each heart here. You've created us. You love us. Lord, you know things about ourselves that we don't even know, that we're not even aware. And yet, Lord, you love us. And Father, I believe you brought every heart here this morning, every person here for a purpose to speak to us. So we invite you to come and speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray against any disruptions during our short time together. And it is in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name, that we pray. And everyone said together? Okay, so I've been in ministry for a long time, about 30 years now. And so because you spend so much time with people, you tend to observe things. Now, I'm not a very quick learner. Took me 30 years. But I observe things, and there are three things that I find that believers struggle with most often. I call them the three F's. The first one is faith. What is faith? God has made faith so simple that sometimes I think we complicate it. When we have faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, that word faith means I throw the weight of my soul, if you will, upon Jesus. For him to, so I trust him so much that I throw myself in trust upon him. So when you came in here this morning, you sat in this chair that you're sitting in, right? That's faith. You had faith that that chair was going to hold your weight. Okay? When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you trust that he has taken the weight of your sin and he forgives you. It's as simple as that. The second F that I've seen believers struggle with often is fear. Fear. And Satan can use that in our lives. Fear of the past, fear of the present, fear of the future, fear of being rejected, fear of being the shame that we carry, just fear. And Paul addresses this in 2 Timothy 1:7 when he says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now, it's interesting that he talks about it being a spirit of fear. Why would he say a spirit of fear unless there was a spirit behind it? The third one is what we're going to talk about this morning, forgiveness. I think, and this is just by observation in not only other people's lives, but especially in my own life, forgiveness can be one of the greatest challenges that we face. Because when we're hurt by somebody, it can wound us so deeply that bitterness can begin to set in. We can want justice. Lord, I want you to take care of that person. They hurt me. And yet the Lord calls us, commands us to forgive them. What? This morning, in our brief time together, we're going to talk about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. And in this story, Peter comes to Jesus. And how many of you guys love Peter? Let me see a raise of hand. You guys know Peter? You know what? I love Peter because I can relate to Peter this way. You know how it was when Peter came to Jesus and Jesus asked the question, hey guys, who do people say that I am? Remember what Peter said? Lord, you are the Son of the living God. Remember that? And now remember, all the other apostles or disciples are with them. And then what did Jesus say? Pete, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My heavenly Father revealed this to you. And upon this church, upon you, Pete, or upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now imagine if you're Peter and you're standing with all these other guys. You know what I would have done? I would have gone, hey guys, did you hear what Jesus said? Did you hear that? Hey, upon me, old Pete. But then, not too long later, Jesus is telling them, hey guys, listen, in a few days, I'm going to be handed over and I'm going to be murdered. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Do you remember that? And you remember what Pete's reaction was? Lord, no! Now, that's a contradiction. When we say, Lord, no, He's Lord. We should say what? Lord, yes, right? And what did Jesus say to Peter then? Satan, get thee behind me. Wow. So I can relate to Peter. One moment, something comes out of my mouth. It's pretty good. The next moment, not so good. So Peter comes to him and he says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? Now, Peter thought that was pretty good. Now, think about it. Someone sins against you, you forgive them once, okay. But they do it again, you're like, hey man, what are you doing? Okay, I'm going to forgive you. Second time. Third time? Really? Fourth time? You're like going, come on man, let's have a talk. Fifth time? All right, dude, it's time to throw this down now. Sixth time? What's wrong with you? Seven? Are you kidding me? Seven times the same sin against me? So Peter thought he thought that he really scored a goal on this one. And what does Jesus say? Peter, I say to you not seven times, but what? Seven times what? Okay, so how many mathematicians do we have here? What's 7 times 70? What is it? 490, right? So you can see Peter sitting there going, 490? So Lord, that means I'm 491, I don't have to forgive? So I'm going to keep a journal of this person. So 491, okay, I don't have to forgive anymore. That's not the point. What Jesus was sharing with Peter was a kingdom principle. And that is this. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the way we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, is through being forgiven. Now listen to me, Christians. This is so important. You, in Christ Jesus, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are placed into, listen, a state of forgiveness. Your status is a state of forgiveness. That means this. The sins you committed in your past were forgiven. The sins you may commit today are already forgiven, and the sins you may commit in your future have already been forgiven. This is scripturally correct. He died for the sins of the world, that your past, present, and future sins. Oh, but you might say, so if He's forgiven my sins in the future, maybe I can go out and do what I want. If that's the attitude you have, you don't understand His forgiveness and His grace. Because when I understand that my sins are completely forgiven, and I stand in a state of forgiveness, when temptation comes my way, now watch this, when temptation comes my way, I say, no, that's not part of who I am anymore. Now, it doesn't mean I don't sin, I do. But when sin comes my way, it's no. I'm here in this state of forgiveness, and the sin's coming my way. No, that's not my identity anymore. But I hear many Christians say this, I'm a sinner saved by grace. How many have heard that before? Do you know that's not true? Listen to me carefully, Christians. Scripturally speaking, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the Bible you are never referred to as a sinner anymore. You are referred to as a saint. So you may say, well, wait a minute. If I'm a saint and I'm forgiven, I still sin. Yes, but your identity is no longer a sinner. You are now a saint who occasionally sins. And that's important for us to see. Can I get an amen? Because that's what Jesus has done for us. Okay? So He's giving a kingdom principle here. So in verse 23, here we go. He goes into the story. Therefore, okay, now He's transitioning. The kingdom of heaven, so He's given us a clue of what the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay, so if Jesus is telling this story about the kingdom of heaven, then He talks about a king. Who is He talking about? God, right? God our Father. So He says here, there's a certain king who wanted to settle accounts, and that word settle means to bring to rest with his servants, settle their accounts. And when he begun, verse 24, to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now listen to this. This king wants to bring to rest everything that's owed to him. He wants to settle these accounts. And Jesus starts with this one man who comes in who owes, in today's value, $24 million. Oh, I'm sorry, not 24, $12 million in U.S. That's a lot of money. And the point he's making here is this man cannot pay the debt. But the king still wants to settle the account. So what happens? This servant says, O king, have patience with me. I can pay this debt. But the reality is he can't, and the king knows it. Be patient with me. He falls down on his face. Be patient. Be patient, Lord, as the king tells him, hey, you can't pay the debt, to prison you go. Lord, no, please, please have compassion. And then the scripture says the king was moved in his heart and forgave him his debt. Forgave his debt. Now, here's what we're going to see, is that this servant, when he left, didn't really believe that his debt had been paid. He was still in this mentality or this way of thinking that he was going to pay his debt off. Now, this is a real important point I'm about to make, so please stay with me. There are a lot of people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who walk out from the king's room completely free of their sin, completely forgiven, and yet they still go to church every week, they pray, they tithe, they seek the Lord, they read Scripture, but really deep down inside their heart, they feel like they can still do something to be forgiven. And that's wrong. That's not understanding God's grace. That's not understanding His mercy. And we see how this person acted who didn't really believe he was forgiven. Now watch what happens. Let's go to verse 27. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But, verse 28, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's just a day's wage. That's a fraction of the 12 million. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now watch this. He goes out of this room having been forgiven. The first person that he sees that owes him something, he grabs him by the throat. Do you think this guy's angry? He's angry. He's choking this guy and he says, pay me what you owe me. Now this is the essence of unforgiveness. Pay me what you owe. Because when someone sins against me and I'm hurt by it, and unforgiveness begins to settle into my heart, you know what I want? I want them to pay me back for what they've done to me. I want justice. I want you to pay me, to restore to me what you've done to me. I want you, and I've heard people in my office say this, I want that person to hurt just as bad as they hurt me. I want justice. The only problem with that is this. When I go to my Heavenly Father and I say, Father, forgive me of my sin, and He's already forgiven me, I've been placed in a state of forgiveness, I cannot go to God and say, God, that person sinned against me, now give them justice. Because I don't want justice for my sin. Does anybody want justice for their sin? Anybody? If God right now were to show up and give you justice for all the sins you've committed, of course we don't. We want grace. And so that's what this man didn't understand was that idea of grace. And he says, you owe me this. So what happens? We move on in this story Jesus is telling us. And he says, so verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he'd been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then Jesus says some shocking words in verse 35. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you do not from his heart. Let me read that again. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now watch this, guys, because we're not going to be that much longer together this morning. So listen carefully. What Jesus is saying is those who refuse to forgive end up in a place that's very confining, end up in a prison where they are tortured, they're tormented. Have you ever known someone who had been really hurt by another person and they're bitter because of it? I have. And what's interesting is, it's almost like they always talk about it. They always bring it up. If that person's name comes up who's hurt them, they'll let you know about it. They'll talk about them and they'll remind you of what they've done. You know what they're doing? They're in a prison. And that person may not even be aware that they've done something to them, or maybe they are, or maybe that person is even dead. Maybe that person's passed away, and yet they're still in this prison of bitterness. Does that make sense to you guys? Do you understand this? Can I get an amen? Amen. I grew up, as I mentioned before, in LA area, Los Angeles area. Grew up on the beach, and I had a lot of friends, but I was very angry, just under the surface. If you had met me in my teenage years, you would have said, oh, he's a nice guy. But I used to get in a lot of fights as a kid. When a certain family member, extended family, when we would get together for family gatherings, if this one person would come, my mother noticed, my mom has a degree in psychology, my mother noticed that I changed. And she even asked me, I remember this as a teenager, she said, honey, you know, whenever so-and-so comes, your uncle, you seem to become very angry. And I didn't even know why. I knew I had this sense, this anger, but I wasn't in touch with it. When I was 29 years old as a pastor, I was counseling with a sexual assault victim, and she was telling me how she was sexually assaulted, and it came back. When I was 6 years old, my uncle took advantage of me. Now, he didn't rape me, but it was a sexual thing. And from that time on, a six-year-old can't process that kind of information. It can't process, you know, what happened. And in fact, there's studies in neuroscience that when trauma happens, like a sexual assault, especially if you're a young child, in the limbic system in your brain, you can actually kind of get hard, the neurons can get hardwired there to where you can kind of get stuck there. And this has been proven through neuroscience. And so since the age of 6 up to the age of 29, I was stuck in a way. And when that memory came back, I wanted to get on a plane. I wanted to fly out to where he lived. I wanted to knock on the door. And if he answered, I was going to hit him so hard. I was going to knock him back and I was going to say, that is for that little blonde-haired, green-eyed, freckled-faced little boy you took advantage of. And I really wanted to do it. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, son, you can do that, but you may never recover then. And I had this picture in my mind that I was on this pinnacle. And I was walking this pinnacle in my mind's eye. And he showed me that if I went and I took revenge, that I would fall down and slide into darkness. And I said, okay, so what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, forgive him. I said, what? That's your job. You forgive him. I'm going to go kill him. Forgive him. Okay, so how do I do that? What do you mean? And he began to minister to my heart and show me things. He said, forgiveness is a choice that you make. It's a choice of your will. And the interesting thing about choosing to forgive is that our emotions or our feelings are so hurt that a lot of times it's hard for me to get beyond my feelings of pain down to the choice of forgiveness. I was in a prison and the Lord wanted me to get out of that prison, but the choice was mine. So here's what we're going to do in our short time remaining together. We're going to look at six principles of what forgiveness is and what it is not. Number one, nothing can be changed about your past. You can't go back and change it. And that's one of the things that people who've especially been assaulted I wish I could go back and change it. You can't change it, but you can deal with it now. Now listen to this, because I know sexual assaults are very prevalent around the world. When a woman comes into our offices at Calvary and Troy, and she's she's a 45-year-old woman, and she says, when I was 9 years old, my father raped me. And she remember how we talked to people who get stuck there? What is happening here is, at age of 45, what she's struggling with is not the rape or the event that happened. Stay with me. She's not struggling with what happened there, because that happened so many years ago. What she struggles with is the lies that she believes now because of what happened. Does that make sense? We've seen this, because the lies, and the enemy comes in. The lie she will hear is, you're just an object. You're not lovable. You're only good for sex. Does that make sense to you? And that's the lie now that she's believing. And so what we want to do is cut that lie, that because of that trauma that happened at the age of 9. And we begin to share with her who she is in Christ, that she's loved by God. And her Heavenly Father is a good Father and would never take advantage of her. And to cut that, showing her her new identity in Christ, and so that lie now can fade away. She replaces what's a lie with the truth. But you can't do anything about your past. You can't change it. But now you can deal with the lies that we believe. The number two out of six is, we forgive because we are forgiven. The reason why we forgive is because we are forgiven. So if you ever need a reason to forgive someone, guess what? Your sins from your past, your present, and your what? Future have been forgiven. The third point, and this is important, forgiveness has little to do with the other person. And we mentioned this before. They may not even know that they have offended you. They may not even know how much they hurt you. Or maybe it was a parent that sinned against you and now they're gone. They're dead. Now what do? You still need to forgive them to get free. But wait a minute, I've heard people say, they're dead. Yeah, but they're still alive in your life. They're still affecting you even from the grave. And the idea is that we often people think, well, if I forgive them, then I'm dismissing their sin. No, you're not dismissing their sin. You're setting yourself free. The next point about forgiveness. Forgiving is not forgetting. In America, there's a saying, to forgive is to forget. That's not true. Let me give you an example. If you came over to my house, and if you're in Troy, Missouri ever, you are welcome at my house. If you were to come over to my house and we're visiting and there's only you and me in the house and on the counter in our kitchen on the table is a $50,000 shilling bill and there's just you and me, and when you leave, that $50,000 shilling is gone. The next time you come over, I'm not going to leave a $50,000 shilling on the table. In fact, what I'm going to say is, hey, let's go out to eat and you're paying with my money. Now, I may forgive you of that sin, but I'm not going to forget it. Do you think that I would let my uncle babysit my children? Oh, someone might say. But if you really forgave him, you would forget it. No, that's foolish. That would be foolish. It also doesn't mean, and I was asked the question between services, it also, when someone has sinned against you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be their friend again. You need to forgive them, but it doesn't mean that relationship can be restored. Now, if they want it to be restored in Christ, and they're then that there can be a reconciliation, but it doesn't mean you need to be friends anymore. It doesn't. The relationship may be broken, and it might not be able to be fixed. Maybe if they're a believer, in eternity it will be fixed, but it doesn't mean that you have to be their friend. But you must forgive them. The fifth point, choosing to forgive is not a feeling. A lot of times we confuse the idea of our feelings with our choices. And I use just this illustration that, let's say you have a big cancerous growth on your body and the doctor comes and cuts it out. Does it still hurt after he cut it out for a while? It still hurts, doesn't it? And you have to wait for it to mend. In fact, you'll have a scar there. And that's what forgiveness is. Yeah, when I choose to forgive, I make this choice of my will. I can still have feelings of pain later with it, and the wound might still need to heal. It doesn't mean I have not forgiven that person. But what I am saying is when I forgive someone, I'm no longer going to hold it against them. And I'm going to choose to keep that, to allow that scar to remain on my life. Let me tell you this, the end story with my uncle. About 10 years after this, I was out in California and I was officiating a wedding for my youngest brother, who's a pastor as well. And so we're doing the wedding rehearsal, and guess who walked through the church doors? Anybody yell out, guess who walked through the door? My uncle. My wife was there. You know Charisse? She's really beautiful. She's gracious. Did I tell you guys about her already? If not, I'll be happy to tell you guys. Well, she saw him walk through the door, and I was up on the platform talking to the other pastors. My other brother, who's actually a pastor too, I got two younger brothers who are pastors, but we were talking, and he walked through the door, and my wife saw him, and immediately she looked up at me to see what my reaction would be. Because we'd actually been praying for him for the last 10 years. That was part of the healing process. Been praying for his salvation. And she said, she saw me look up and see him, and no reaction in my face, and I just went back to what I was doing. I have compassion on him. I feel sorry for him. I pray for his salvation. And that was the work of the Lord in my heart. Forgiving, and then the final point is forgiving from the heart. Jesus said, The idea is not just forgive from the head, but forgive from the heart. And we have found this to be true, that in order to forgive from the heart, to really get to the depth of true forgiveness, is that we have to acknowledge the pain, because we tend to gloss over things. We tend to minimize things. So we may say, well, you know, that happened a long time ago. It doesn't affect me now. It's no big deal. It's done, and yet it still affects us. So when we take people in these areas of forgiveness, we teach them about forgiveness. We teach them this first. You need to say in your heart to the Lord, name the name of that person, then what they did to you, then how it made you feel. With my uncle, it was I choose to forgive. And I put my uncle's name in there, because he took advantage of me when I was just a little boy. And that made me feel ashamed, lost, like no one was going to protect me. When we do that, that's when the healing really begins to happen. Because we're going to the place where the wound is the deepest. We can't just say, I choose to forgive my uncle, my dad, my sister, my brother, whatever it is, my boss. We can't say, oh, I choose to forgive them. No, I choose to forgive them. Why? What did they do? And then how did that make me feel? And then what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to cleanse these wounds, these deep wounds. So here's what we're going to do in closing. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you and to drop one name into your heart, or maybe more. First service, people were saying a lot more names came to my heart. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you anyone you might need to forgive. Then we're going to take you through, very briefly, this process of what they did and how it made you feel, so you can walk out of here freer than when you came in. Let's all stand to our feet right now. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. And I pray, Father, that you, by your Spirit, you know us, Lord, better than we know ourselves. So, Father, I ask by your Spirit, right now, Lord, you would drop into the hearts of your children anyone, any name that needs to be forgiven by them. Any name. So right now, guys, listen, brothers and sisters, he will drop it into your heart. So Father, I ask you to do it right now. Don't question the name, it'll just come to you. Now hold on to that. Now, what did they do to you? Now just let that come to you. Now, how did it make you feel? This is the most painful part of the process. How did it make you feel? Abandoned, lost, unloved, whatever it is, let that come right now. Okay, so here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I'm going to say this, Lord God, I choose to forgive, and then I'm going to have you, between you and the Lord, put those names in there, name or names. Then I'm going to say, because they did this to me, and I'm going to have you, and you're going to repeat after me, I'm going to have you, just between you and the Lord, tell him what they did. And then I'm going to say, because it made me feel, and I'm going to ask you, between you and your Lord, you just tell the Lord how it made you feel. So ready? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I choose to forgive. Now let that name come. Say it to the Lord. Now repeat after me. Because they did this to me. Say it. Because they did this to me. Now what did they do? You tell the Lord what they did. And it made me feel. Go ahead and say it to the Lord. And it made me feel. Let's do that again. And it made me feel what? You tell the Lord how it made you feel. Now, here comes the hard part. We're going to ask God to bless them. You know you've really forgiven someone when you can pray that God would bless them. Not in their sin, not for what they've done, but that God would bless them. So please repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I choose to forgive these people, and I ask you to bless them, and I ask you to heal my wound in the name of Jesus. Amen.